This morning, let's turn to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians this morning, and as we look back at 2019 and give thanks to God for His watch care and His blessings to all of us in this past year, we find ourselves beginning a new year with new hopes, new challenges, and just great things. I'm looking forward to a wonderful 2020 year. A new year offers us opportunities to correct things in our lives, to make adjustments in our lives, to get rid of things, and to acquire things, and do so much more. If we set the goals early on, we can all be successful as the year progresses on. Many make resolutions to change this or that in their lives and to accomplish new goals. And I thought to myself, what about us as Christians? What kind of goals ought we to set in this new year? And somebody might say, well, you know, it's not really a new year, it's just another day. Well, they've been celebrating New Year's since ever. It's a new year. And it is a chance for new opportunities for all of us, and we ought to take advantage of them. The Bible is sometimes called the old book, but it still has a lot of things to say in it, and it will have, until the Lord comes back, things in it to help us in a new year setting, such as we have right now, to follow what it says and to receive a blessing, to help give us some goals for a new year. And I want to show you some of those things today out of the book of Colossians. And we're going to start here in chapter 3, if you'll find that. I've given a title to this message, The Bond of Perfection. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Colossian church, wrote, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Father in heaven, I pray and ask your blessing upon the reading of your word this morning. And as we look at this chapter here and some more of the verses, I just ask your blessing upon it to our understanding, to every person that is here, that they might be blessed, and that your Holy Spirit among us would speak to our hearts and clarify things and prick our hearts and help us to be reminded of things that perhaps we need to make changes of in this coming year. Perhaps new goals that we want to set, like reading our Bible and such like, or attending church more, or bringing more friends to church, whatever it might be. I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to be reminded of these things that you would have us to be involved in. And we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the thanks. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. The apostle starts out here in verse 1. He says, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And I thought to myself, there's Christ sitting on the right hand of God in the control room. Do you ever think of it like that? He's not just sitting up there, you know, on a throne and running his fingers on the end of his chair and looking around. He's actually in the control room. You know, when I was in the Air Force, I worked in a control room. I was actually the captain, if you will, of this one office here in Araya Control, it was called, where I was the chief. And as a young captain, I had men that I was responsible for and things that we as a group were responsible for in the Air Force, involving a lot of different airplanes. And we controlled those things and had 24-hour, 7-watch of these airplanes and communication with them. And it was quite the thing. But when Paul says here that Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, he is in the control room sitting there. And what is he doing? He's managing the entire creation and all of the universe and all of heaven. He's right up there with the Lord in the control room, managing these things on a daily basis. Everything in eternity as well, the Lord is in charge of. He's still reigning with God on the throne. And if you think of it like that, you'll know that and be reminded, hopefully, that he has all power. Look at chapter 1 here in verse 15. 19, it says, who is the image? This is speaking of our Lord. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Hey, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God in the control room. He's there, and he is preeminent above all. And so when Paul says this, he's not saying this lightly. There's the Lord sitting up there, but it encapsulates so much more than just him sitting there. It's who he is and what he does that is fantastic in this passage of Scripture to note that he is sitting on the right hand of God. And as a result of that, Paul says to set your affections, we're to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Pastor's preached on this particular passage here before in different contexts and what have you, or may have referred to it in different messages that I've preached. But as I'm bringing this message to you this morning, I want you to see that we are to set our affections on things that are above, because they are eternal things. And that's where our home is at. We're waiting for that control room to release the message that says, go down and get them. And Jesus is going to come again, and he's going to rapture us out of this world. The control room is going to issue those orders. It is going to be sometime. It could be today. We don't know. But it could be at any time. And I'm looking forward to that. And as a result of that, I'm setting my affection on things that are happening up there in that control room as God gives us guidance in his word. If you're thinking about the things on the earth here, which we're not supposed to be setting our affections on them, I think of them, there's things that we are affectionate about in this life and in this earth, but they're all temporary when compared to the eternal affection we're supposed to have for the things above. Our hearts ought to be set on that which is above, our affections. And in verse 4 or 3, Paul says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now I thought to myself, what does everybody think of when they hear this passage, what it says? It says, when he shall appear. Well, what does that make you think of? It made me think of the rapture. When the Lord appears, he's going to take us up to be with him, and we're going to appear with him in glory. He's coming in glory, and we'll appear with him in glory. If we die before that time, and when the rapture comes, the Lord's going to take us up to be with him then, and we're going to appear in glory like he is in glory. And if we wait that 7-year tribulation period when the Lord comes back to establish his kingdom here on earth, guess what? We'll be appearing with him in glory. And so this is a double statement here when Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now, as a result of this, the control room is working. They're watching everything. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, men are making decisions and causing all these things to happen around the world, when really it's God who is running the world. He's managing all these things. He allows a lot of things to take place as he manages, but he's got a timeline. You know, in our control room that we had airplanes that were around the world. And we had a little scale that went across the top of our big control board that we had. And on that scale, it had a real nice timeline. And we could match where somebody was at this given time and this date and where they're supposed to be here and help direct all that. And it was a pretty big operation. But when you think about what God is doing, God who all things will be done in his time, he and Jesus Christ are there on that throne, and they're working all things out. The Holy Spirit's involved, bringing all these things to pass in God's time, not just in ours. It's a wonderful thing. And when we think about that on an individual basis or as a church body, Paul tells the church here that we are to set our affections on those things that God is working on those things that are above. And when we do that, we'll see how less important our personal things are and affections on this earth, those temporal things. Like in verse 5, he tells him, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And this idea of mortifying means to make powerless or to make them dead, to have no interest in the things of the flesh. I used this example once before of putting a hamburger in front of somebody who's dead. And the things of the flesh, you know, ought to be like a dead person who you put a hamburger in front of his nose. They have no interest in whatever. They cannot have any interest in it. And the things of our flesh, Paul says here, to mortify them. Therefore, as we look at putting our emphasis on things that are to come and the things that are above, mortify them. And he gives a list of things here. I'm just going to read them quickly. We're not going to dwell on them, but we're to put these things off from us. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Well, thank God he saved us from these things. Amen. Thank the Lord that we no longer are enslaved to this, but we have the power of God's Holy Spirit in us to help us to overcome these things and to live a whole nother life, a brand new life separate of these things. Look what he says in verse 8. He knows about those things, but he says there, to put off these, anger, wrath, malice, he adds to the list, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, this is a good thing to be thinking about here in 2020. How is this right here working for you in 2019? Was that working out pretty good for you? Maybe you need to make some corrections for 2020. As a believer, we can do that through God's Holy Spirit. He empowers us to do that, to recognize, you know what, God, you're right. Your word says don't do this. The Holy Spirit of God will help you if you call upon God to enable him to do that. As you submit to him, he'll help you to put those things off and to make a change in your life. I need that help. I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit's help to live what God wants me to live. And I'm thankful God gave me his Holy Spirit to help me to live my life as he would have me to do. Paul says to put off those things that, how did he say beginning here, the affections on the things on earth or the fleshly things. Put off those things. And he says in verse 10, what a good verse, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And so when Christ is in your heart as a believer, he's all in all. We're to put on, if you will, the new man. I had to think about this one a little bit. To put on the new man, it means to put on the quickened man, the enlightened man. And it means to be, for somebody who hasn't been regenerated or saved, to be saved. Once you and I are saved, we're to put on that new man, to put him forward, to have the desires of God for that new man that he has made us. The scripture speaks about this in several different places. I want you to turn with me back to the book of Romans in chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's one there right in front of you. If you'd follow along, it would be best. I like it when you follow along and hear what scripture has to say, not just pastor, because scripture is what's most important here. Romans chapter 6, Here the Apostle Paul, again, talking to the Romans, says in verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." There's that idea of the new man. We're to walk in this newness of life is what Scripture says. Now go to chapter 8 in Romans. Just turn the page. And verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." To be conformed to the image of his Son is to be renewed in our minds, to be renewed in our inner person by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then turn over to chapter 12 in Romans. Oh, I like this verse. Verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world." All right, stop right there and think about what we read in Colossians, where he says, don't set your affections on the things on earth, okay? Here he tells them, he says it a different way. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There's that idea of renewing again, the new person that you are in Christ. And so, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're not renewing your mind, how are you going to prove what God's Word says is so? We're to put ourselves into God's Word, be in His Word, so that we can prove it in our lives by putting it into practice. And when we do that, we renew our minds from the things that Paul said we're supposed to mortify. Now that we're on a roll, I'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Whoops. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. "For which cause we faint not, but through though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." There's that idea of being renewed again. This year, this 2020, we have that opportunity to be being renewed every day. You know, if you live your life, you ignore the Holy Spirit, you just kind of turn your back and you say, you know, I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to make it all work because I can plan, I've got the intelligence, I can lay out a schedule, I can accomplish all these things here that I need to do. If you're not setting your affection on things above, then you're not going to be listening to the Holy Spirit who wants you to be renewed in your heart and in your mind on a regular basis. But when we say yes to the Holy Spirit, He has a way of getting all these things done over here that we thought were so important. And He'll get all that stuff done in our lives. And then in addition to that, He'll help our affections to latch on to, if you will, what is really important to God, and that God reveals to us after all, and after we submit to that, you know what, I found my life, I'm dead to the things I thought I was supposed to really focus on, and God has given me a new focus, and I want to renew myself and be able on a daily basis to recognize that in my life, and God will bless you as you do that. Now, turn to the right some more and find Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. Here it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The Holy Spirit is doing quite a work. He helps us to renew our minds. What does that mean? Well, it means that our minds are thinking about the things often that Paul said to mortify. our mind wants to go in that direction, but the Holy Spirit wants to renew our mind and get us thinking and doing and practice, putting into practice things that are godly things. And that's how it comes about that you renew your mind. You get educated, and you put that education into practice. I thought about when I flew airplanes for the Air Force that we, before we took an airplane out, we would plan what we were going to do. We had a whole day for that where we sat and we read all the up on the mission that we were supposed to fly and all the activities we were supposed to do. Figured out how to get from A to B and then to get back and to do everything else that we had to do on that day. And I thought about, that's how it is with God's Word, that we ought to be in it, reading it, and finding out and setting goals and wanting to follow those. Some people have a lifetime passage of Scripture. Some have an annual one. Or some just say, you know, I really like this passage Scripture that I've been reading lately. It really speaks to my heart. Hey, set a goal on that verse. That's what it's talking about. Read it, make plans and goals on what you're reading from God's Word to help you renew your mind. Excuse me. When we flew in the airplanes, we do all that planning on one day. The next day, we would go out and we would fly the mission. And we'd go out, everything that we had planned the day before, we would put into practice and we would go out and we would do it. And boy, I tell you, it was sure good to have a plan. The Air Force always said that if you fail to have a plan, then you're planning to fail. And you probably heard that in some type of rendition, but it's true. And if you don't put a plan together, then it's just not going to come to pass. Folks, if you and I read God's Word and we say, wow, that's fantastic. Or you come and you hear the pastor, he preaches a message from God's Word that's something you haven't heard or you've been reminded of, and you say, wow, that's absolutely right. And you walk out that door and you don't execute it in your life or you don't think about it no more, what good is it really doing you? Especially if God wants you to put that on a daily renewing practice. You see, that's what it takes. We have to be able to focus on that, and we have to fly the mission, so to say. On the third day, this is a three-day process, after we got back from our mission, we'd all go home. But on the next day, we'd all come back together, and you know what we did? We talked about that flight. We talked about day one. We talked about, well, here's what our plan was. And we take that plan, we looked at it, and then we looked at the day that we executed that plan. We looked at the two to see how closely they were related together and how it got executed, you know, and how if there was anything in here that we could have improved or changed to make the flight better. So it was a day of review. Boy, I tell you what, 2020 starting right now, what a good day to begin to review those things that have happened in the past and say, did I do what I was supposed to do for the Lord? Do I need to make corrections this year in my family, in my personal life, in what I do at church? All those kind of things that only the Holy Spirit can prompt you to be involved in. Did I do those things? Take some time to look at your plan and say, Lord, I've done this. How does it all match up do I have to make some corrections here? What do I have to do? And speak to the Lord about it. And when you do that, you'll find that this process renews your mind. You take a big part in the renewing of your mind by submitting to the Lord's Word and His Holy Spirit to read it and to carry things out. It's a wonderful process. Look at verse 12 back in chapter 3 of Paul's epistle to the Colossians. He gives them some goals to have. Verse 12, he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. He mentions these things here. The mercies, I think about those in Proverbs 28:27. It says, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. And so have mercy on others in this coming year of 2020. And be Be mindful of others. Be kind to others in this year. Be gentle and good. Can you think of anybody in this past year you weren't kind to because you talked about them or you were backbiting them or you said something about somebody else or, you know, unfairly said, well, that person, it was in a character assassination and he only did it one day, but did you ask God to forgive you for that? Did you say, Lord, help me to make a correction? Renew my mind with what you want me to have in there and you want me to do by looking at his scripture and doing it. Just ask God to help you. He will help you. I think about meekness here that Paul says. I wrote in my notes here, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am a meek and lowly in heart. And so our Lord is meek and lowly in heart. And we see here, Paul says that we ought to be that way. Humbleness of mind and meekness. And he brings up long suffering, of course. That means tolerant. We're to be tolerant with others. How have you been this past year? Have you been tolerant with others, or did you put yourself up here and them down here? Did you think of yourself first all the time and nobody else? Everybody else was later on because they bug you. Or, you know, this or that. You just weren't tolerant with them because you were so much something else better than them or whatever it was in your mind. We're to be long-suffering with others. I hope others are long-suffering with me. Don't you wish that about your own self? You know, the Air Force taught me a lot of things, and for some reason I'm remembering a lot of it today. But I remember this one time I was in a school setting. They sent us to regular school settings to help us to work with one another. And I remember they had a team time when we all had to get together and write something about somebody else in the group, what their problem was. And so, you know, I don't know if they tried to cause confusion or, you know, frustration in the team to break us down or whatever it was, but they said, just write, you know, something about everybody else. Don't put your name on it, but put their name on it. And so, you know, there's a list of 20-some letters that came back, and it had McCarthy on there. And it said, McCarthy this and McCarthy that. A lot of negative stuff come back. And I said, how could they do that to me? Then I come to find out how that stuff was true. Because in competition with everybody else, boy, I was just stepping on some toes. And, you know, nobody's going to leave me behind in the dust. And I didn't realize that, you know, until I read what they said and really tried to step aside and look at myself, that a lot of stuff they said was true. And it helped me to get through the school successfully and be friends with them all. But it was the same thing with them. We identified each other in some things that needed to be different. And so it took that long-suffering of each of us with one another to bring that about and to bring it past. Paul says here in verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh boy, there's something there to put into practice in this coming year. Immediately, here's three things I wrote down. Immediately forgive others in your heart, unconditionally, whether or not they deserve it or they fail to forgive you. Forgive them. I was talking with some folks recently, my wife and I were, about we wish all of our family could come and just be together in one place for Christmas. And then we talked about, well, they would if they lived closer for our family. And the other family said, yep, that they understood that as well. But even if they were all to come, we realized there'd be some things there, some schisms or, you know, this or that and some difficulties because some people aren't that willing to forgive or to forget things and they bring up things and they just cause trouble. It's hard to get together and just relax, put all that stuff aside and just say, hey, let's have a good time together. I know nobody else here has ever experienced that before, but I'm telling you, if we put into practice what the apostle is saying in 2020 here, we're taking the first step and putting these things into practice, hopefully we can be a good testimony and witness to others to do the same thing and be a little bit more forgiving. If somebody repents and asks forgiveness at any time to you, tell them you forgave them already and embrace them and assure them of your forgiveness. Forget the trespass. That means to forgive the initial act as well as continuing to forgive when memories of that reappear. You know, it's really easy to tell somebody in their face, I forgive you. And then when they leave, you think of something else, and you're like, that's right. What? Renew your mind. The new person. Put on the new person. Paul gives us all these goals here for us to attain. Forgiveness is good for our souls, and many have rejected the Lord's forgiveness by rejecting Christ, and yet God's forgiveness is still available. It's always there. There's always a chance as long as the person is still alive. Others may not accept your forgiveness, but we ought to always be ready to forgive another, even as Christ has forgiven us. There's a passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6 says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I believe forgiveness is an act of love and righteousness. And it's a react of a renewing mind, or it's an action of a renewing mind, somebody who wants to renew their mind. If we don't put that into practice, there's consequences, as we just read out of Matthew. But listen to this passage in 1 John 3:10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And so forgiveness is a big part of that. We are to forgive and we're to practice righteousness as we renew our minds. What a good opportunity. I have things I want to do. I'm going to a new resolution for this year. I want to get rid of some clothes I got. All the old ones I look at and I'm tired of moving them around and looking at them when I open up my closet. I want to get rid of some of those and get some new ones. Besides that, you know, some of my suits may be getting old. I'm forgetting all those things. I want to spiritually be right with my adjustments this year first. All those other things will take care of themselves. Look at verse 14 in Colossians 3. Paul says, and above all these things that he told us to put on in verses 12 and 13, he says, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Now that word bond there means the uniting principle, and it means it's love. Okay? The bond of perfection is love. Put that on toward others. Charity is the uniting principle that holds these characteristics together, all these things that he says to put on and to do as you renew your mind. I like the Apostle Paul. He's written a lot of the church epistles. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 13. Well, turn with me here. I want you to, I really wish you had just circled this and think about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling symbol. And he goes on and he mentions a bunch of other things about that. I thought to myself, as he said that we're just somebody, if we don't have love and we're going to make all these changes and try to renew our minds, if we don't have love, the unifying factor of the whole thing in our lives, then we're just making a noise. We're just a noisy person going about and really not unifying anything. Paul says in verse 15 in chapter 3 of Colossians, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in the one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in 2020, now that 2019 is gone, we'll just use 2020. We know it's a lifetime sentence here, but we're just going to focus it on 2020. I can take little bites a whole lot easier than I can a real big one. And so I just want to try to do it today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day. Don't throw a whole year at me or 2 years, but in 2020, day by day, I want to do this. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's be mindful of the Bible this year, God's holy word. Let's have a plan as we read his word, as we study it and look at it. We come, we hear messages, or we're in Sunday school and we hear things. Take some notes. Say, you know, I need to make a correction on that. Let us make adjustments and set new goals when God's word speaks to us, and ask God to help us to renew our minds with what he is showing us in his word. Read it and make some plans. Execute them, those plans, as you're directed as a Christian, and ask for God's help. I think when we make these necessary changes, you might not notice it at the time, but you're renewing your mind. You're maturing in the things of the Lord, exactly what his plan is. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, the apostle tells us that the bond of perfection is love. And first and foremost, our love to you and our desire to please you and to submit ourselves to you and your Holy Spirit, so that your Holy Spirit might help us to renew our minds and our desires and our affections. And help us, Lord, to rid our minds and our affections of those things that do not please you, as the Apostle Paul talked about mortifying them. But put on the new man and all those things associated with it. Help each and every one that is here today to do that, for your glory and for your testimony in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.